we're joined by Sergiuet, CEO and co-founder of Emma. Emma, if you're not aware of them, they are pushing the boundaries of what's possible with agentic AI and is behind some of the most advanced real-world deployments that we've been watching at HFS, particularly when it comes to things like customer experience, sales automation, and employee services as well. And together, we came together and we co-authored a paper called The Enterprise Guide to Agentic Business Automation. And it's where we tried to capture what's happening in the market and where enterprises need to go next. The paper tried to look at questions like what's happening with AI systems, stop acting as tools and start being accountable teammates. And what does it look like to design enterprises where AI just doesn't assist, but actually owns outcome? So I'm excited to kind of dive in some of these themes today. And I'll just start with a simple question, which is, we talked about this idea of agentic business transformation. What is that? I'd love to kind of hear it from your own words.
Thank you so much, Jenna. Thanks for the invite, and very excited to talk to you today. Let me talk about, you know, what we are seeing, the signals we are seeing in the enterprise in terms of moving from experimentation to AI really becoming the centerpiece of your operating model. The first thing is the C-suite mandate. We are seeing that, you know, leadership, the board, CEO are mandating that AI adoption is a top priority, and it's not a side project from some innovation lab. So shifting that center of gravity from labs to that core of the enterprise, that's the first. Second, we are seeing that real budgets are getting reassigned. Companies are moving dollars from traditional IT or BPO contracts, and this is very real. We work with a lot of them, into AI-enabled automation. You cannot go and win a BPO contract anymore if you say, okay, I'll just have hundreds of thousands of people taking over this. It has to be AI-enabled automation. And this is a very tangible sign that enterprises are betting on AI as a long-term productivity driver. The third, it's no longer just about plugging AI into an existing workflow. And this is a very important point, right? It's actually about rethinking the entire workflow. For example, in finance, companies are reimagining reconciliation, compliance, forecasting. In customer operations, AI is not just helping agents. It's like taking over repetitive tasks and freeing humans for complex judgment. So it's not just a tool, but AI as a transformation. And I think a fourth point and a very important signal is the maturity around governance. Enterprises are actively setting up responsible AI framework, reduction pipeline, bias monitoring. That tells me they expect AI to be part of their mission critical systems where trust and compliance are not negotiable.
We see a lot of companies and vendors really calling things agentic AI when they're really not. They're typically co-pilots or more task-based tools. What makes a system actually agentic? And how are organizations beginning to kind of understand what this means for them?
Great question. Today, I see this agent wash happening. Everybody's calling everything an agent. Your old RPAs are called agents. But that's not true. In reality, there are agentic systems have some specific requirements, specific signatures. First, I think about is goal orientation, not task orientation. For example, a co-pilot helps you with a task when you ask it. A co-pilot is not an agentic system. An agentic system will take a goal like reduce my month-end close time by 50%. Then it will figure out how to execute across multiple systems, stakeholders, steps. So it's not about single interaction. It's about outcome delivery against some goal. Next one, I would say, is autonomy with guardrails. So agentic systems can sense when to act without being told. And that's a very important point. They're not rule-based systems. They're not just if then else. They can act based on like monitoring signals. They will trigger workflows, escalate exceptions to humans. But they will operate within policy, within compliance, within governance framework, very much like human employees as a manager and a handbook. But they are making independent decisions on when to act, how to act, where to act. Third thing is ability to learn and improve. Agentic systems are not fixed automation scripts. They improve over time. So they adapt to exceptions. They adapt to tunes into its approach based on like feedback, gets better at achieving its objective, and it becomes more and more resilient over time. And that's a big difference against traditional automation. So if you have those three things, goal orientation, not task orientation, autonomy with some guardrails, and then ability to learn and improve, to me, those are the signatures of truly agentic systems. AI employees are actually a step above agentic systems. Now, when does an AI agent become an employee? Right? We think of an agent becomes an employee, again, when it has first persistent identity. It actually starts owning responsibility. Like, this is the agent that handles a vendor onboarding. It's not just one-off task. So it has an identity, it has a role. Second is cross-functional execution. It's not a single tool. It has to navigate CRMs, ERPs, email, and APIs, like any humans have to do. And then third, most important, it has some accountability. It takes accountability, just like humans need to take accountability. You can measure its KPIs, you can give it feedback, and it improves against feedback, just like a human hire. When you reach from agentic to AI employee, you're no longer dealing with just some souped up autocomplete, you know, automation. You're dealing with actually a digital colleague, which can be onboarded, measured, trusted to deliver outcomes. And this has been our vision and our goal from the very beginning of Emma.
One of the interesting things as well is that you call it an AI employee, and this is what we refer to in the paper as well. But I think as humans, we tend to, you know, overhumanize sometimes technology as well. Do you see kind of any risks in calling these systems as AI employees? And how do you drive the lines of accountability when AI employees might be accountable for certain things without pretending that they're actually humans? How do you see that shaping up?
I think there is a risk of over-anthropomorphizing these agents. We call them AI employee in a very specific sense. Like, they own repeatable responsibilities. They have measurable KPI. They are taking accountability. They operate within governance framework. But I don't, you know, anthropomorphize them. They are not people. They don't have emotions. You know, they don't have empathy. So if you expect that, that's not fair. They're systems with accountability. So you have to be careful. For example, like if you take a spreadsheet and you have a macro in the spreadsheet, you cannot expect that macro to care about your business. It doesn't have emotion, right? So it just executes something. Similarly, your AI agent or your AI employee is not you. You have to tell it what to do, but it cannot have like emotions. The very important piece here is the human plus AI balance and the right framing. So AI handles repeatable tasks, structured parts of the work. Humans provide judgment, empathy, and creativity, and those are very unique human quality. Now, language needs to reinforce that. Not blur the line. So don't confuse AI with humans. AI employees, they're accountable software. They have clear responsibilities. They have measurable outcome. They have and governance. But, you know, they don't have the human qualities that we'll expect.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. And I think some of the things we're also seeing is that it's really critical to ensure that there's a lot of AI literacy as you bring in these tools. So that you guys are also incredible at doing is educating your customers on what the differences is and ensuring that there's a lot of change management involved in this process. Next piece I want to ask you about is that we talked about a maturity model within our research study. So we kind of capture the different levels organizations are at. What are you seeing in terms of what separates the organizations that are at those earlier phases of their maturity versus ones that are actually adopting these AI employees in organizations?
Yeah, great question. Look, when we talk about agentic business transformation, this is kind of the highest level of maturity. We are trying to capture a step change in the enterprise about how they work, now they think about how they work. So if you look at traditional automation and first wave of Gen AI pilots and so on, it was all about efficiency in a certain workflow, making some tasks go faster, cheaper, easier. Now, in a more mature state, like that's what we call ABT, Agentic Business Transformation, it reframes the whole conversation. It's not about incrementally improving something that already exists. It's about actually reimagining how we work, how accountability is structured, how organization is you know, designed in the future, what outcomes the enterprise is truly optimizing for, right? So, you know, some key differences, I'll say again, from tasks to outcomes, right? Automation or first level of maturity or GenAI pilots will be like, do this task, assist me when I ask. ABT will be about, you know, and the business outcome I need, which maybe close my account books faster, generate a sales proposal, reconcile my vendors, whatever it is, the agent is responsible for delivering it end to end, right? ABT is really, you know, you are employing digital colleagues. They're persistent, they're measurable, they're integrated into a business process and with clear KPIs. And then finally, I'll say from just pure efficiency to transformation. You're redesigning the process entirely. You're not saying, okay, here's the current process. I'm going to plug in AI in a few places and get some efficiency. You're going to rethink, re-architect the entire value chain. Reassign your human talent also to the highest leverage work, right? So there will be a lot of juggling of roles. Human roles will change as part of this transformation. That's the highest maturity model we are talking about. Some companies are getting there, but still early.
Yeah. I think it's a really critical point around that a lot of organizations are taking a lot of these tools that are emerging in the market and just plugging them into existing processes that might be already broken and thinking that these tools will suddenly fix them all of a sudden and now you have this perfect workflow, and it's creating more legacy debt into the organization as well. In our research, we talked about kind of three areas that we're seeing a lot of transformation, especially with Emma. So you're seeing it in customer experience, sales automation, and employee services. I'm just wondering, as you're talking about this almost mindset shift and this process transformation, could you give me an example of one of those areas where, you know, you've seen a transformation happening?
Look, the way it started, even in those areas, was just initially just point automation, point solutions. And you saw the rise of vertical AI a little bit, right? Still continuing. I strongly believe we have a hypothesis. We strongly believe that that's not the way to go. You have to think of complete system redesign. So our most mature customers are doing just that. They're not saying, okay, let me put a chatbot to deflect some customer issues. That'll be a point solution. The redesign is, okay, how do I rethink my multi-channel customer support? Well, chat, voice, email, whatever the channel is, right? End-to-end, completely. How do I reassign my current humans to the right roles? Because their roles now will be managing AI employees or overseeing AI employees more and more rather than doing things on their own. So we are seeing that with some customers where they will have a more comprehensive conversation with us around agentic business transformation. And also customer support, if you think about it, it basically spans everything. Like your product design should get, you know, feedback from your customer support. Sometimes the most important nuggets and insights about what we need to add to your service or solution is hidden in a lot of these customer conversations that are never fetched, because you have, let's say, 10,000 calls a day, right? How are you going to figure out what insights can you take out and inject into your product design? But now you can. With AI employees, you can do that at scale. So we have worked with very large customers today to really redesign that entire process end to end. Same with, you know, if you think about employee experience.
I love that. I think that there's a big aspect of all this transformation that is allowing humans to become more human as well as to focusing on the things that make us uniquely connect with one another as well. You know, the tribal knowledge, the discussions that we have, it's giving us space to have more of that too. And you mentioned around kind of how a lot of these pieces are in within single functions. So we talked about the customer experience and the employee experience. How do you take projects that start off in employee experience and begin to expand that into an organization to drive that real enterprise-wide transformation?
Yeah, you are absolutely right. You know, most of the early wins are function specific. Like somebody tried something in customer support, in HR, in sales, and that's showing signs of life, you know, showing good ROI, like a chatbot in customer service, proposal generator in sales, AI help desk, right? All of this. Now, these only prove that the technology works, right? But they don't change how the enterprise operates. You know, the real challenge is moving from this pilot island to enterprise-wide transformation. You have proven, oh, it works. How do you do enterprise-wide transformation? We have helped multiple organizations to make that leap, right? And I can give you some patterns on what we have seen, right? So, you know, first thing is anchor on our enterprise outcome, not functional tasks. So the leaders need to stop asking, what can AI do in this department? And start asking, what business outcomes do we want across the whole enterprise? For example, faster close cycle, higher NPS, lower cost to serve. Like, what are the business goals and how can AI drive that? Very different, right? Not like, okay, have you used some AI lately? I've also seen some companies, you know, saying, oh, we have deployed 4,000 agents. That's not the metric. You can deploy 100,000 AI agents and maybe all useless if they're not actually driving business outcomes. That's a purely vanity metric, right? So outcome first framing forces this cross-functional design. And this is very, very important, Dana. The traditional functions in the business, I believe, may actually change in the new AI world. Like, what is the responsibility of finance versus sales versus product may have to be rethought in the AI world. Because the traditional functional differences was based on the tools we had and the way we worked with those tools. And that's all changing. Next thing is building an AI operating model. Transformation really requires an AI operating model. AI employees need to be onboarded just like human employees. Right? We don't just hire someone and say, okay, go figure out something. Right? We have some other humans help a human employee onboard, mentor them, coach them, give them some tasks, right? Feedback. This exactly the same with AI employees, right? They need to be measured. They need to be given feedback. They need to be put in the right task. That means the role definition, the KPI, the escalation path, the oversight mechanism that spans across departments, not in silos. Very important. The third thing is investing in common infrastructure. Again, instead of very functional building, today there's this, again, vertical agents, functional building, every department running their own pilots. It's okay. That's a start point. But you have to move beyond that. You have to create shared capabilities. Data pipelines that span across functions. You know, because all the governance pieces like redaction, audit trail, orchestration has to span across function. So a shared backbone is needed to have multiple AI employees, AI agents plug in and scale safely across the enterprise. And the last thing I'll say is, of course, goes without saying maybe, executive sponsorship and change management. This only works when C-suite makes it company-wide priority. There's a lot of projects will die as soon as it goes to the next level to C-suite or next to next level. Because there are pet projects. There are things people are already in motion. Is that pet project you started a year back to, you know, migrate from one software to another software still relevant today? Or upgrading some version? It may not be relevant anymore. With the pace at which agentic AI has moved, you have to really bring it all back to the table and rethink, kind of a zero-based thinking is needed. So if AI is stuck in just the innovation lab and stays as a science experiment, it's not going to work. It has to be on the CEO's scorecard. It has to be the priority of the C-suite And it has to be a day-to-day engagement.
Yeah, I love those points. I think to the outcomes one, we talked about this in our paper as well, but outcomes can't just be productivity gains. It can't just be efficiency. And that's kind of where you sit at. It has to be much more deeper of how you're driving more greater outcomes for the organization.
And when Absolutely. It comes to
the, yeah.
So if I can add in one more thing, look, I think true transformation happens when enterprises reframe AI as a workforce strategy, not a tool, right? It's a workforce strategy, and then they build a common infrastructure and they measure the outcome at an enterprise level, not the department level.
I think a lot of times organizations get stuck in this tool set mindset as that we'll give you tools to support you in specific tasks or functions, but not think about that higher level discussion around how does it actually change your organization, which is your enterprise model discussion as well, around you need to rethink essentially functions themselves, as well as the hierarchies that exist in organizations. So a lot of times, if you have very traditional structure and reporting structures, you will get stuck in, you know, not moving towards any transformation at all. So there's such a bigger, higher level discussion needs to be had around what does this mean for my employees, to my organization? What would I have to do to change as well? My last question for you, I know we're running out of time, but if we could fast forward to 3 or 5 years' time, what does the workforce look like with this human plus AI model? And what is your advice to leaders that are preparing for that reality?
Yeah, great question. Look, in 3 to 5 years, I don't think we are going to talk about AI as an add-on to the workforce. That's a fundamental thing. I think it'll be part of the workforce, just like, you know, any human employees. So every enterprise org chart will include human employees and AI employees. Today, that's not happening. And people may laugh at it, but I think this is very important. The org chart actually needs to have human employees and AI employees, each accountable for different kinds of outcomes. Again, we talked about the outcome, not just tools. I think the shift will be fundamental from as the, you know, move from clerks with ledgers to ERP systems, right? So the systems don't just record the work. They actually do the work. See, in the past, what has happened is ERP systems or anything, software, just record the work. This new system, and that's why they are employees and they're not just software, they actually do the work. They just record something that some humans are doing. Very important difference, right? I think you'll see AI employees will have very well-defined roles, right, in across the organization. You are also going to see human talent, and this is really important. Human talent is elevated. Humans have to move up the value chain. So they have to spend less time in repetitive tasks, rule-based tasks, and move more into strategy, creativity, judgment, and more relationship building, because those are still hard or for AI and will continue to be hard for a long time.
I'll also just quickly add to that, too. It's so important to drive more training around that as well, but what it actually means to drive more of those human capabilities and orchestration skills as well. Because I think there's also a risk that if we have all these tools in place, people become complacent just to accept whatever the AI output is. And we need to kind of drive more of that critical thinking as part of this process.
Yep. Yep. I think, you know, if I were to give some advice to the leaders today, I would say, look, start designing this operating model today. You don't wait till like 2028, 2029 to figure out. Some of your competitors are already doing that. What does that mean? Define the roles, the KPIs, the governance for AI employees today. And of course, we can help, others can help. Invest in trust infrastructure today. That's very important. So that means compliance, PII reduction, audit trails, explainability. These are not nice to haves. You have to invest in that trust infrastructure today and choose the right solution. You have to reimagine the talent strategy, right? I think you have to think less about replacing people, about reskilling and redeploying. There's a lot of conversation whenever I talk to a CXO today. What can I replace? Some people know. How do you reskill and redeploy? Because you will still need humans, right? Your competitive edge will come when you figure out how you combine the human creativity with the machine execution. employees will resist if you frame it in the wrong way as a replacement. They will not resist if you frame it as an augmentation. The narrative you set is very important as a leader. It will determine the speed of adoption. So,
yeah, that's fantastic. As an anthropologist, this is all music to my ears as well. But I really want to thank you for this discussion. It's been really fantastic. And for our audience that hasn't read this paper on the Enterprise Guide to Agentic Business Transformation, I encourage you to do so. And we look forward to continue to discuss with you.
Thank you so much, Dana. Really enjoyed the conversation.